It's time now for Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. You can call the show now at 503-397-1600 or toll free at 877-397-1632. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KOHI, staff, management, or sponsors. Now, here's Melinda.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Setting the Record Straight. Happy Friday. Carol and I have a great show for you this morning. We are talking about Columbia Health Services. And you may have heard of Columbia Health Services, or you may have not, but there are several agencies here in Columbia County that do a variety of things. And we are taking the time today to talk about Columbia Health Services and what their role is in the community and how you can access their services if you need their services. And so joining us today from Columbia Health Services is Sherry Ford. Sherry is the director of Columbia Health Services. We also have Corey Connor. Corey is the front office lead for the organization, and Amber Bathon. Amber is the mental health manager. And I just want to thank all of you ladies for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Sherry, I want to talk to you first. Let's talk about what Columbia Health Services is and what sort of role does it play in our county.
Sure. Columbia Health Services is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are contracted with all kinds of funders and organizations, including Oregon Health Authority and the school districts and Columbia Pacific Coordinated Care Organization, to provide care to the community. Our mission is to make our community a more resilient place for everybody. And so those services are things like the WIC program, that's Women, Infant, Children, Nutrition Education. We do parenting education. We help people with their Oregon Health Plan applications because insurance is never an easy thing to understand. And then we provide medical care all throughout the county and now also in Jewell.
Wow. Okay. Well, is Jewell part of Columbia County or is it Washington County?
It's Clatsop County.
Oh, Clatsop. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So let's, right there is a lot to unpack. We've got a lot of letters there. So everyone by now should know that OHA is the Oregon Health Authority. And they are the arm of public health, correct? I mean, they're the state arm of public health. And then let's talk about, so they contract with you to provide services, like you said, such as WIC. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the Columbia Pacific Coordinated Care. I don't think a lot of people understand what CCOs are. And could you explain that a little bit?
Oh, boy. I will do my best. Yeah, Medicaid is our state's way of insuring people who cannot afford health insurance for one reason or another, up to age 64. And then after age 64, it's Medicare, right? So two different things there. To provide Medicaid in Oregon, the state has built a structure where insurance groups who engage with communities contract to provide the Medicaid insurance for specific regions. So Columbia Pacific CCO is a I'm going to use the wrong word, probably a business associate, say, of Care Oregon. So Care Oregon's the insurance group. Columbia Pacific CCO is operated by a board of directors that contracts with medical providers in Clatsop, Columbia, and Tillamook counties.
Okay, thank you. And that's the important bit right there. So if you're on the Oregon Health Plan, and there are a variety of people of all ages and all stripes who are on the Oregon Health Plan for a variety of reasons, you can only go to the medical providers within your CCO, which is Columbia County, Clatsop County, and Tillamook for us.
Right. Yeah, and then there are some big efforts in understanding that not everyone has access within those communities and boundaries for a number of reasons. And so there are services and service providers contracted outside of that region as well to make sure that people are getting the care that they need. We're all about not creating as many barriers as possible.
Right. So we're lucky because we're close to the metro area, so people can access maybe specialists or what have you. Okay. I think that's a really important baseline because Columbia Health Services is very different than Columbia Mental Health, even though, and we're going to get to Amber in a moment, you all provide mental health services as well. Actually, let's talk about that. Amber, you are the manager for the mental health portion of Columbia Health Services. What does Columbia Health Services offer that's different than Columbia County Mental Health?
So Columbia Community Mental Health is the mental health authority for the county. So they have some contractually obligated services that they are required by the state to provide within our county. Being that CHS has none of those overarching obligations, our program and our obligation is directly into our community and the school districts and the other funders that we serve. So primarily we are providing services directly in our school-based health centers and within schools within our school districts. And so that can be assessment and treatment planning, individual therapy, safety planning. We're in the process of developing some group therapies. So the generalized mental health services that are so very much needed in our community can be accessible to children, youth, and families in our clinics. And then if it's in school, any of the students that are associated with that particular school or school district.
Okay, Sherry?
Just want to add to that we are a partner with Columbia Community Mental Health because we've all recognized as a community, I think, that there are way more mental health, social, emotional needs than any one organization or service provider can tackle on their own. And so we saw the opportunity to just come in and support in another way with a little bit of flexibility within our system.
Okay, thank you. Amber?
And on that same note with what Sherry's mentioning, we actually have quite a few families and youth who actually receive cross services between the two organizations because we are community partners and our services do vary, that sometimes it's easier for a youth to receive their individual therapy, let's say at the Rainier Health Center where we have a therapist that is affiliated with CHS, but they also need more intensive services through wraparound. And so then they also have some CCMH providers who are providing those more intense mental health services. So there's a lot of collaboration there as well.
That's great. So, Corey, what is your role within the organization? Would you like to explain what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of oversee front desk reception for majority of the medical patients. So we have specific front desk for mental health, my team. So we are scheduling appointments, talking with patients, working on, quality measures. So with primary care, we have reproductive health services, which includes birth control. And so we are setting people up with reproductive health grants, those that don't have the OHP or the CCO. We also do sports physicals, well child checks, immunizations for kiddos going back to school. And so I just kind of oversee all of that.
Right. Thank you. So who wants to talk? Let's start with the school-based clinics, where school starts next week. By the way, school starts on Tuesday. Don't forget, please stop for the buses. Let's not speed through the school zones. Just a reminder. So some of us need to hear that. I know. We're all in denial, but summer is ending. Okay, so who wants to talk about the school-based clinics and what their role is and where they are? Who wants to take that
on? Oh, I will. This is Sherry. Yeah, so school-based health centers are designed as a local collaboration to help kids be healthier right where they are, to make healthcare easier accessible for families, and to really keep them in school. Many of us have experienced in our own childhoods in Columbia County or with our own kiddos that to get a kid into Portland to go to the doctor requires taking a whole day off of work to come pick them up at school because they're sick, drive them into the appointment, come back. And so school-based health centers are a way to provide that care right on campus for any family that's interested.
Okay, so let's dial down on that. So are there nurses? There's one nurse, like there aren't nurses in each building. There's like one nurse for each district, right? Is that where we are? Maybe one district has two nurses. So the days of like going to the nurse's office and laying down if you're sick, those are over. Would they come to your clinic then? Like let's say a kid at Pride is not feeling well. But really, I think the clinic is at Lewis and Clark, right?
So in St. Helens, there's a school-based health center at Lewis and Clark. That's the Sacagawea Health Center. And there's one at the high school, which is across the street from the high school right now during remodel time. And that's called Lions. The scenario in schools is still similar, where a student's feeling sick, they're going to go to the office and talk to the front desk person at the office. I'm not feeling well. Front desk person's still going to call home. Kiddos here. With a school-based health center, though, they have the option to say, oh, but we have a school-based health center. It's open here today. Would you like me to connect you? And then at that point, the parent can be connected on the phone to the school-based health center. The reception person, Corey or one of her team, we can look them up and say, oh, yeah, we've already got consent on file because you've been seen at one of our clinics before, or no, let me text you the link and you can fill out the information. We can see your kiddo now, or this afternoon, or, you know, whatever is appropriate. And then it's up to the parents to either give consent over the phone to have the student come out of class and come to the school-based health center on their own, or for the parent to meet them in the school-based health center. But either way, we're communicating with the family.
So let's say the child is at Columbia City. And they're clearly not, so a parent or guardian needs to come pick them up and take them to the center.
Yep.
Right, okay. And then do you do things like strep tests and COVID tests, or I don't know, do you do COVID tests? What kind of things do you offer for, like, let's say an elementary school child who might be sick?
Yeah, so we don't have an x-ray machine. And we don't do all of our own labs in-house for, like, managing cholesterol, but other than that, we're like a standard doctor's office that you would go to for primary care. We're set up as primary care clinics.
Okay. And so do you have a nurse practitioner, a PA, a physician's assistant, or a physician?
Or any nurse practitioner or physician's assistant is the primary care provider in the clinics. And then we also have an MD, a physician who's our medical director, who's overseeing and helping us build policies and make sure everything's right in place as it should be.
Okay, so let's say a child is sick and they aren't on the Oregon Health Plan. Maybe they have private insurance. Can they still get the strep test there or have their, be looked at? And you would insurance?
Yep, we're contracted with all the major insurance groups. And then because we're a school-based health center, if this is a person school age, so 19 and under, then we can write off the patient responsibility if they express that they're not able to pay. Say you have a high deductible plan or a copay that you can't cover, we can still bill your insurance and collect what we can from them, but then we can write off what's due to you.
Okay. So is all of this information, does it come home with the parents every year, like at the start of the school year, so that they realize that all of these are available? All these?
Yeah, I would say yes and no is the short answer. There's information available on all of the school district websites. Things are really, really changing in terms of how schools communicate with families. Some are entirely virtual. Some are sending things home. And so that moving target, we've not been really successful at really getting in there and figuring out the best way to communicate. So we appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I back in the day, I knew there was one at Sacagawea. And so if you have a sick child, a lot of 70, what is it, Carol? 73% of people in Columbia County commute out of the community. So if you don't have a grandparent, if there isn't somebody, if both parents or, the adult, the person, the child's person are out of the county, you have a sick child, I know a lot of families struggle with this, having to come in and get the child and then go back into, whether it's Longview, Hillsboro, or Portland, is a lot. So this is a great alternative. So tell me where these school-based clinics are this year.
Yep, so we have the two in St. Helens, and then we have one in Rainier, and that's a K-12 campus. All the schools are in one place, so the school-based health center is up there. And then we have one at Klatskanai Middle High School. And then we are transitioning, trying to create a new space in Vernonia. We have had a school-based health center in Vernonia since 2013, and with some space adjustments, we don't have a solid clinic location right now. So we're working on that. And then Jewel.
Wow. Okay, that's great. And Carol?
Oh, I just had a question, but go ahead. I was going to ask about the mental health section of this, because a while ago we were doing a show on, we had heard all the stuff about increased anxiety and mental health issues with children in schools and threats of suicide and things, and we tried to do a show on it, and I literally could not find a single person willing to come on the radio and talk about it, and part of it was that they were so busy, but it also was... we ended up finding somebody in Seattle who did a great job, but it was not local. And I'm wondering what we're doing, and are we noticing more anxiety among kids threatening suicide in the schools? And I love it. Great idea that we have mental health access almost right in the schools. Not in Scappoose, but we're all fine. We don't have issues here. I'm just kidding. But who can answer that? Is there something more? We have more going on?
So this is Amber. You're right on. COVID definitely caused a lot of concerns in terms of mental health. Of course, mental health existed pre-COVID in terms of concerns, but, kind of being locked away in houses and away from socialization and peers and not being in a classroom made it really difficult, especially for a lot of the younger students who didn't have an opportunity to develop any of those early social emotional health related concerns. They didn't get those skills to be able to build. And then when you start thinking about, your middle school aged kiddos who socialization is a huge part of identity development and learning to self-soothe and learning to advocate for yourself, and they don't have the opportunities to do that. And then you have, high schoolers who are kind of getting ready to launch off into independence and college or the workforce, and they've missed a couple of years of really being able to build those skills and develop that part of their identity and lifestyle. And so we've definitely noticed some increased risk for suicide, some increased self-harm behaviors. September is actually Suicide Awareness Month, and so there's a number of activities going on throughout the county this month to support suicide awareness, to bring awareness into that process. And it's been really helpful, I would say, over this past year as our team has grown exponentially in the mental health side of things at Columbia Health, to provide services in the schools and at the school-based health centers and making that access more readily available. Like anywhere else, we do have some hiccups and have a wait list, because there are always more referrals than there are people to provide the services. But we are making more headway now on that process than we have been able to in the past 2 years, because we have more providers available.
Thank you, Amber. So let's talk. Can we talk about the process? So maybe a teacher or another school employee observes that a child is having a rough day, maybe is struggling mentally, emotionally. What does that process look like? How do they get help from the center?
So we try really hard to sort of embrace the no wrong door approach to accessing services at Columbia Health Services. And so those services can be accessed variety of ways. So if someone, we occasionally had people walk kiddos over to the clinic directly to check in, especially if there's a safety concern. We've had those phone calls. We've gotten paper registration and referral. But the most common way at this point that we are getting referrals is we have a Google form that is fillable online that goes directly to our community health workers who do all of the registration and scheduling for appointments for a mental health team, and they're reaching out to the referrants, whether that be a school or a school counselor or a parent or a student themselves referring, maybe a juvenile court counselor or a primary care doctor. They're reaching out, gathering the needed information for us to then be able to process that referral and get an assessment scheduled. If there's a true safety concern, then we address that in the moment and then do the follow-up for all of the other care because safety is a huge concern for our youth, and we want to make sure that we're keeping someone safe for now, and then we can navigate the paperwork pieces on the back end of that. But the referrals come from a lot of different places, sometimes very much in the moment, and sometimes it's like I'm starting to see some things that might indicate something else is happening here.
Okay, well, I like that. No, I've never heard that term, no wrong door approach. So it doesn't really matter how they find you, just that they found you and you're going to find a place for them, which is where Corey's team comes in to try to get people in. So can you, without, you know, violating any sort of HIPAA issues here, can you tell us what you think the number one cause of anxiety among, let's say, high schoolers are? Do they fear gun violence? Or is it issues at home? Is it teenage angst? Is it all of the above? Or maybe I'm missing out, suicide ideation?
In our county, the two primary contributing factors for high school students is identity, trying to figure out who they are and where they belong in this world, and having communities that are very small and not really knowing how to find their sense of belonging. And then just the general, like, angst of being a teenager, social life, home life, how do they navigate, you know, asserting their independence and autonomy while also trying to, you know, be respectful and meet the necessary teenage requirements. So I would say that those are the two biggest contributing factors for our high school students.
Okay, thank you. And what kind of folks do you have? Are they have MSWs? What is their qualifications? Who, when a student comes to see someone, who are they seeing? Are they seeing a psychologist, a psychiatrist?
So our staff here at CHS, we have all of our mental health therapists are either licensed as LPCs, which is a licensed professional counselor, or an LCSW, which is a licensed clinical social worker, or they are associates for those licenses, meaning that they are board affiliated for either of those degrees and are working towards that license. And then we also have psychiatric nurse practitioners. So if we do have students or clients that need that additional support, need a psychiatric evaluation or maybe medication management alongside their mental health services, then we can also connect them in that way. And so we have two therapists on staff, myself and Heidi, which is our clinical lead for the mental health program, and we are both board-approved supervisors for licensure, so we share the supervision responsibilities for any unlicensed mental health providers.
Okay, great. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, there is more to get into, so stay with us. Carol and I will be right back. This is Setting the Record Straight.
Need towing? Call Grumpy's Towing, 24-hour emergency service, providing jump starts, winching and recovery for autos, trucks, to boats. And Grumpy's Towing is equipped to service large trucks to semi-trucks. Grumpy's Towing is here to give you prompt service, and they work with most insurance companies. When you need help, remember,
Grumpy's Towing. That's the name for 24-hour service. Call 503-543-5533. Grumpy's Towing, 503-543-5533.
This is Realizing Art, your local tattoo and body art studio, serving Lower Columbia County since 2019. We offer a variety of tattoo and art services in a warm, clean, and welcoming environment. Stop by downtown St. Helens and visit Realizing Art. You can give us a call at 503-396-5018, or you can find us on Facebook and Google. Again, that's Realizing Art in downtown St. Helens, Oregon.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little.
It's Setting the Record Straight on KOHI with Melinda Bernard. Call the show now at 503-397-1600.
And we're back. You're listening to Setting the Record Straight. And if you're just joining us, Carol and I are chatting with the Columbia Health Services team. We have Sherry Ford. She is the director. And we have Amber Bath on. And Amber is the mental health manager. And we have Corey Connor. And Corey leads the team that deals with the front office, which, you know, is the glue that keeps everything together. And I want to kind of go back to, we talked a little bit about the services that were available for the K through, you know, 7-8 year old or 7-8th grade. But you also, you do have clinics at Rainier High School and one across the street from St. Helens right now. And Jewel, is that?
Jewel's a K-12 and Klatskanai's middle high school.
Yep. Okay, right. So let's talk about some of the other services. And I know that these are sometimes controversial with some members of our community. And that would be reproductive, basically birth control. Let's just call it what it is. Birth control for our youth. And so tell me, how does that work?
Yeah.
If somebody wants to come in and they want to get birth control, whether it's, are we talking about prescriptions? Are we talking about condoms? What do you provide?
Yep, so we provide all of those things, and probably more important than that, we provide a patient an opportunity to talk to a healthcare professional about these really big decisions that they're making. And so our clinics are also open to adults, and to, as an adult, to go into a primary care provider and ask for, you know, birth control, and then to say, oh, sorry, I can't provide that to you, is a little unsettling. And so these services are provided to all ages that the state requires services be provided. And so what we do for every patient who's asking questions about birth control is we have a conversation with them about the choices that they're making, about who the trusted adults in their life are that they're sharing these choices with. We're talking about risks and healthy behaviors, and then we're helping them make their own decision about the birth control needs.
Okay. Okay. So are you saying that your clinics are also open to someone who's 40 years old?
Yep.
Or 20? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. And is that for everything or just reproductive health?
Nope. That's for everything.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. Corey, so an adult who is not in school wants to come in and wants to make an appointment for whatever, whether it's a mental health evaluation or it's a physical thing, they can just call you, come in, and you would book them through just like you would a student.
Absolutely. So the same as kind of what Amber was saying, it's all the way from a walk-in, hey, I need services of whatever type they're looking for in that moment, to texting us text line, asking, hey, do you guys do this type of service, and responding to them, getting them the registration forms, getting them into our system, and getting them scheduled. So it's an easy process.
Okay, excellent. So how is Columbia Health Services funded?
Yeah. So we, like I said, we contract with all of the major insurance companies, and so most of the clinical services we provide are reimbursed by insurance. And then the community-based programs that we provide are funded through grants. And so that may be, like, the WIC program is funded in every county by Oregon Health Authority grants via federal USDA dollars. Other programs are different grants. Columbia Pacific has funded our suicide prevention program over the last several years. So it's a variety of funding streams that way. In addition, our Oregon Health Authority provides some base funding for school-based health centers for operations. And that, when I was talking about how if you're a student and maybe you have a high deductible plan or a copay that you can't afford, that base funding from the state helps cover that cost so that we can still operate and students can still receive care that they can afford. And there's also funding from Oregon Health Authority and Columbia Pacific Coordinated Care Organization for the mental health program to make sure that we have services that are accessible to everybody.
So that would pay for salaries, but who's paying for the nurse practitioner salaries and the physician assistant salaries and the salary of who is your overarching physician that overlooks the organization?
The medical director is Dr. Prager, and he reviews policy and compliance. Mm-hmm. But he's on contract, and we use all of this braided funding from grants and insurance revenue to operate the organization.
Okay, great. So what about local dollars? Are there any local dollars put in by the cities or the county?
I'm pausing to make sure I'm not missing anything, but no. No, okay. So there's some in-kind provided by the school districts where we have a school-based health center located. We're covering our internet and firewalls and phones and all of that, but the school districts are allowing us to use a site on their campus, which includes electrical and water and sewer. Other than that, we've been pretty resourceful at finding outside partners.
That's great. And you've been around for a while. So how long has Columbia Health Services been providing services? And Sacagawea has been around for a long time.
Yeah, Sacagawea has been around since 2000, and they started as their own nonprofit organization and collaborated with some other partners to operate. We started operating the Sacagawea Health Center as a medical sponsor in 2013. Columbia Health Services, the nonprofit, has been around since 2003, formerly named the Public Health Foundation of Columbia County.
Yeah, that's great. That is fabulous. And I'd like to know, I don't know, you probably don't have these numbers right off the top of your head, but how many students do you think you see, not just adults, but students you see yearly?
I can probably pull that up, depending on the school district. When I ran data just recently for the last 3 years of utilization, it ranged between 20 and 40% of the students in the school where we're located had made a connection with the school-based health center. So that may be mental health or primary care. It may just be coming in for one immunization, but we've had that many touch points.
Okay, let's talk about that. It's school time, and I believe the immunization cutoff date is sometime in February.
Yep.
So if you have your child's coming into school and they're not up to date on their immunizations, they have until February until they're excluded, school exclusion day.
Yep.
And a few years ago, I ran some numbers, and I found that a shockingly high number at the time, you can get on, there's a database, it's a public record, of kids didn't have their polio immunizations. Is that part of the exclusionary rule?
Yep.
Okay. So do you see, like, sometimes parents get busy, they forget, they don't know, there's new immunizations added. So do you see, is that one of your more popular services? Would you say, Corey, that you're booking a lot of folks, like, oh my gosh, I need to get, you know, Johnny his, you know, whatever.
So right before that exclusion date, the school sends out, they're pretty heavy on reminders. And so we as a whole set aside specific dates leading up to that exclusion date where we are nothing but immunizations that day. And that gets passed out at school. And I'm sure there's other ways that we communicate that with parents, like, hey, look at this one day. It's dedicated to just you. It's a great turnout where parents are bringing their kiddos to get those vaccinations so that there's no lapse, in that. So, and those turn out really well. Those are my favorite days. We get lots of families in here. So,
right now. Physicals too.
Yes.
Yes. I wanted to talk about that, the sports physicals. They're important, but they also, do you do the test that, you might catch the heart defect?
Ooh.
The sports?
I don't have the answer for that. We have EKGs at a couple of our locations. I don't believe the EKG is used routinely during a sports physical. But when we do catch something of question, even a little bit of a question, we're able to connect those patients to the appropriate specialist to get further testing.
Okay. Okay, that's great. So, I know there's some folks who aren't really thrilled with school-based services feel that, their child or community's children will come in and you give a very thoughtful explanation about if somebody wants reproductive services, how the process works. But what about privacy? So if a teenager is listening right now, and they really don't, maybe the person that they're living with isn't the trusted adult that they can talk to for a variety of reasons. What's their level of privacy? Can they make these decisions without the parent or guardian being aware of it?
Yeah, so in the state of Oregon, a minor who is 15 years or older can self-consent for their medical care. And like I said before, these are still really big decisions, engaging in healthcare, and so we really work to empower the patient to learn how to make these decisions on their own, but also connect with someone who can help them make these decisions, a trusted adult in their life. And that isn't always the person that they live with, which is unfortunate, but it's the way that it is, right? And so we have to follow the rules of the law. If they're 15, then they're telling us who it's appropriate to give access to their medical record. It is up to our patient to let us know who we're allowed to share information with.
Okay. And what about mental health service? Yes, Amber.
That's what I was just going to add, is that mental health is an even different age, and it is 14 years of age or older that a youth can consent for their own care. But much like what Sherry is saying in regards to the medical side, there are a lot of reasons why a youth may not want a parent or guardian to know that they're seeking out mental health treatment. And so we want to respect that, especially if the concerns around that are safety. But we also want to have access to supportive adults, someone that they feel that they can trust, both to build that sense of belonging, but also to have natural support that if a mental health provider isn't immediately available, that they have someone that they trust and feel comfortable with letting know what is going on in their life. Or someone, if we are having to develop a safety plan, that we know we can reach out to do a check-in or a follow-up if something like that is needed. So we try always to include parents if and when it is appropriate, and then always have some type of trusted adult that we're connecting with.
That's great to know. So let's talk about mental health services and the need for them. And Corey, are you having to book out a long time? Is that one of the busiest requests that your team deals with?
Mental health is one of our heaviest schedules. However, we have grown tremendously with new providers. And it is, honestly, I think that you can schedule a mental health appointment a little bit sooner than you could like an annual physical with our primary care provider. So we have really stepped it up and made it super accessible and within a timely manner with our mental health.
So people aren't waiting months to see somebody.
No, no, okay. Man, a couple weeks.
Okay, that's great. That's great to know. It's better than your average physician, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about maybe some of the goals that Columbia Health Services has. We've talked a little bit about where you are, but there's a pretty big hole where you aren't, and that is South County, Scappoose. So do you have any desire or interest in putting a school-based health center somewhere in Scappoose?
So school-based health centers are generated out of needs assessments and community partnerships. And so over the years, there have been conversations with Scappoose School District for a school-based health center there. And for a number of reasons and different climates, et cetera, that hasn't happened at this point. But we're open to partnership, and so we're not interested in opening a location or providing a service where the collaboration and the agreements don't exist. So we really let it be a community-led process. If this is something the community wants and the district is ready to partner, then we're on board. Let's start having the conversation again. But there also, Columbia Health Services doesn't have to be the only medical sponsor or provider of school-based health centers. And so all over the state, in the 70 or more school-based health centers around the state, there's all kinds of medical sponsors. It might be a county public health. It might be OHSU or Legacy. And so it's not a, it's really a community-based process. What do we need and who are the right partners for that?
Okay. Good to know. So do you think that the merger, if it's approved by OHA between Legacy and OHSU, is going to have an effect not just on you all and all the services you provide, but they're going to have a monopoly out here? It's going to be one group providing care. What is that going to affect you all at all? Or do you know?
One of the things I love most about Columbia Health Services is our local team. Folks who live, work, learn, worship, play in Columbia County, that we're a small enough organization that we're pretty nimble and responsive to community need. And if we see that we're not doing something quite right, we can make a change or an improvement. We can reach out differently. And so I think we'll still have that niche. I'm hoping that if that merger gets approved and that happens, that it doesn't create a system so big that people find it harder to access services, but that it happens in reverse, that it's a big system with lots of services and people find that access is really great. I think there's plenty of need to go around in Columbia County, that we'll keep doing our part in our little corner and we'll collaborate wherever possible.
Thank you. I'm really glad you brought that point. Carol and I have discussed this at length on a variety of issues that Columbia County, and very similar to maybe Tillamook or Clatsop, it's very different than the metro area. And if somebody comes into town and they really haven't lived here for a while, they really don't understand the intricacies. And you could probably say that about any community, but it is different. And people from different walks of life and different, whether it's medical services, it's politics, it's social services, people come to understand that after they've lived here for a while. So I'm glad you said that, because when you're local, you have a better idea. And Carol, you've talked about this a lot. When you're local, you have a better idea, right? Of really, because it affects you, right? You're not just from another community across the country and saying, well, here you go, right?
Right. And you understand where people are coming from to some degree. So, but I can remember coming into Scappoose and having a list of docs that I had gotten from someone, and went into the health center, and they said, these guys are all full. No, we can't treat you. That's it. And I also remember going in when we had a hospital in St. Helens, and going by ambulance after a wreck, a horse wreck. And they said, oh, we don't have the right kind of x-ray machine. We have to send you to Portland. And I'm like, what? It's a hospital. But they didn't. And so there you go. But I think being among the people and being part of it makes a difference, and understanding where people are coming from And I hate the reputation that Scappoose has that it's all Portland people. And so what does it matter? Because many of us don't go to Portland very much, or used to work there but don't anymore. And I think that's, you know, we need help. When you need it now. If there's a kid in trouble in Scappoose, he needs help today. And I've had friends who've gone and found, oh, this looks like cancer. Okay, we'll have, see, you can see an oncologist in 2 weeks. Well, no, 2 weeks is too late. And that's one of the problems we're having in our whole healthcare system now. Not just in little towns, but it's hard. We have to keep fighting for it and hoping that it'll get resolved.
Okay, well, thanks. So you said earlier in the show when I asked how parents get all of this information, and really, so a lot of it's the school district. Have you worked on trying to get the message out, other than being on the show, of course, to let folks know that you are there and you're there for the general public, not just schools?
Yeah, we, I think we're becoming a little more well known. We've been at 13 Nights on the River, and we've tabled at, the fair and a bunch of other community events and the parades around the county. And I'm really trying to get the word out there, advertising our website and as we can as a nonprofit, trying to keep it as up to date as possible for people. And then we also have a new business front right across the street from the post office in St. Helens. It used to be Adeo Services there, and now it's Columbia Health Services, and that's where we're providing most of our WIC appointments, which is now back in person after too many years of being stuck with virtual appointments only. We are now meeting all of those sweet littles that have been born through the pandemic, and getting to provide those services in person. So we also have fresh produce available there. We have a clothing closet. People bring their baby clothes and supplies, and we organize them and let folks take what they need for their families. So that's become a fun little, not little, a big opportunity to partner with families that way. And part of being back to in-person services is we're also going back to our travel rotation for the WIC program. So the second week of every month, we spend a day, our whole WIC team goes to Scappoose on Monday and Rainier on Tuesday. I probably have those days wrong. And we provide our WIC program in person in each of the areas of the county so that folks who can't get to St. Helens can still be seen, get their weigh-in measure, their breastfeeding checkup, all of those services. So we're really excited to be back in person with that program.
How long does the WIC program last? Does it end with the age of the child?
Age 5.
Okay, so it is birth to 5.
Mm-hmm. And prenatal. Yeah.
And what other programs do you offer besides the ones that you just talked about? Like besides, you know, the weighing and the lactation help, what else do you
Yes,
offer?
So there's nutrition education classes, and that may be they're virtual online, they're in person in small groups, and there's breastfeeding support, there's then the nutrition supplemental foods. So we partner with the grocery stores in the community, right? So you can get your WIC card, which now is like, it's now a credit card, so you can put all your groceries on and swipe your WIC card, and the WIC things will come off of there, and then you have the balance with your own funds. So that's become a lot easier in the last 5 years or so to use the WIC benefits as well.
That's great. And so do you also offer mental health services, maybe postpartum services as well for WIC?
So yes, our ultimate goal is to actually have a mental health provider who is part of the WIC team and is specifically working with those families and those kiddos and those parents who are part of the WIC program and kind of specialize in that 0 to 5 early childhood age group. But right now we haven't been able to fill that position. So the rest of our mental health team supports the WIC program and offering those types of services when they're needed. And then also with our parenting group that we offer for the incredible years WIC families are able to access that as well, which has been really helpful in terms of both supporting families who need that supplemental assistance for nutrition, and then also helping connect parents of young kiddos for play dates and for sometimes switching off for care, so mamas or family members who are caring for little ones can get some self-care in for themselves.
That's great. That's fabulous. So we only have a couple minutes left. So is there anything else that you think that you'd like the public to know that we haven't been able to cover this morning? Well, you know, when you're thinking, Corey, I have a question for you. So when people come in and they want to see a provider, what are some of the things that could expedite the visit? Like maybe, I don't know, having a list of medications people are on, or what are some of the things that you wish that patients could come in with that would help, you know, with their provider know?
Medications is always helpful. Having a little bit of information where we can request records from, because a lot of people haven't been seen in a long time, and so we don't have quick access to their records so we can see any underlying health issues, stuff like that. But honestly, just I feel like the only barrier to being seen is just coming in. Come in.
Come in. Okay. And you'll get
it out.
Thank you. And Amber, you wanted to talk something about hoodies?
Yeah, so right now we are actually doing a fundraiser. So as I mentioned earlier, it's Suicide Awareness Month, and we actually have a hoodie that we are selling to bring awareness around suicide that has a positive message on it, and we're going to use the funds from the fundraiser for that to continue our suicide prevention work, providing assist trainings and providing some self-care materials for students and providing resources throughout our community.
Great. So where can people purchase the hoodie?
Yep. So the hoodies are located in all of our clinics. You can stop in or you can give us a call and we'll set one aside for you. They say on the back of them to the person behind me, "You are amazing, beautiful, and enough. You matter. Remember that." And then on the sleeve, they have a semicolon, which represents that my story is not over. We made these for staff and have been wearing around and have been stopped in airports and all kinds of places that people are really touched by them and want to know where to buy them. So you can stop in to the clinics.
How much are they?
They are
$40.
$40?
Mm-hmm.
$40. Okay. Great. Well, thank you. I just want to thank you all for taking the time to thank you so much. This has been really, really amazing and so informative. And so for those of you who are out there, you want to look up, just Google Columbia Health Services, Columbia County, and you will find their website. And that does it for Carol and I. We'll be back next Friday. Make it a great week. This has been Setting the Record Straight.
Thank you.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing mine just a little.
You've been listening to Setting the Record Straight with Melinda Bernard on KOHI. Listen again next Friday here on AM 1600. You can email the show, kohi.radio@gmail.com, or email Melinda, strsradio@gmail.com.
Oh, take a step.